Bree. Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
hitthatline.com.
I got that wood.
This is The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I don't mind cigarettes being inside.
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the boys' club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
And welcome into the Morning Rush here on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. Appreciate everybody listening in, and thank you for making us a part of your day today. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you today. Got a fun-filled show for you. We're going to talk a little bit about the NCAA tournament and SEC teams specifically being in it. We'll also be joined by Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette at 7:45. Richard Davenport talking all things recruiting, which we're not only going to talk to him about recruiting, but we're also going to do a couple segments on recruiting. So we're going to talk with him around 8:15, get into some SEC talk, specifically Nick Saban, who I feel like he's like Tom Brady. He's never going to go away until he starts sucking, until he has that one measly 10-3 year. And then maybe at that point in time, he will retire. But we'll talk about that and a lot more. And as always, thank you for making us part of your day.
What's going on with your hair this morning?
I forgot my hat.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, man. When I fall asleep, and this is kind of what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible, I know.
Yeah, it definitely is.
But you know, that's a great thing about radio, is no one has to see it.
Yeah,
well, no. Except you. And, you know,
that's true.
Well, and the first thing you had to do off the gates was call it out.
So that's, well, hey, for all the listeners out there, Tommy and I are going to take pictures of your hair this morning, and we're going to put it on social media.
No, we don't.
You need to go see Supercuts.
Yeah, no, I do need to go and get a haircut. I really do.
That's for sure.
I really do. I don't know. Maybe I'll start thinking about growing it out long, like some type of mullet or something like that.
Oh, man.
But no.
I don't know. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I don't need to go to that point. But either way, I wanted to start off the show with talking about the NCAA tournament, because, you know, I think there's still vested interest, even though Arkansas is not in the tournament. Would have been a lot more fun if they were. But there's still a few storylines that we've discussed this week that's interesting. And there's also some SEC teams, i.e. Kentucky and Texas A&M, still having a chance to win the national championship this year. I don't think it'll be A&M, but then again, who knows? I feel like Kentucky probably has a pretty good shot. And from just what I've been seeing from people and talking with fans and all that, it is so funny to me, because this year is just another reminder of it, that for whatever reason, the SEC fans that during the football season are, you know, the ones chanting SEC, SEC every single time, doing all that fun stuff, they'd cheer for Alabama to win the national title when they're playing against Clemson. Or they'd cheer for LSU, or cheer for Florida, or cheer for Auburn, or cheer for whoever. I know that's not everybody, but the majority of people like to see the SEC be very successful in football. I do not get that vibe whatsoever in any other sport. Baseball, I don't see anybody rooting for LSU or for Florida or for South Carolina. Basketball, I sure don't see anybody rooting for Kentucky to win the national championship. I really don't see Florida. Maybe there were some South Carolina fans that wanted to root for South Carolina when they were making their run to the Final Four. But for all intents and purposes, I don't see it. And I'm wondering, is this SEC bias, like everyone wants to throw around who hate ESPN and the amount of bias that's shown to them, this myth? My thing is, I wonder if it's just lost on the other sports and if it's just a football thing.
That's a good question.
Because I know nobody's rooting for Kentucky.
Yeah, well, no.
No. Nobody's rooting for Kentucky.
And nobody here at all is cheering for Kentucky. And I don't know, like, I don't quite think that teams necessarily root for each other as much as we may think, because not only are people not rooting for Kentucky, Arkansas fans aren't rooting for Texas A&M either. And
no.
And now it's one of those that if you say, well, would you rather Kentucky win a national championship or Texas A&M? A lot of people would maybe look towards Texas A&M. But my only problem with that is that could have easily been you. Like, if you're an Arkansas fan and Texas A&M is able to go to the second round or is able to go to the Elite Eight, the Final Four, the national championship game, Arkansas had as talented of a roster as Texas A&M did this year. So I don't think people quite cheer for conference teams as much as we may think. And I'm with you on that may be more of a football thing, but that's also more of just for like talking points. I still think deep down in people's hearts, if you are a Razorback, you're not cheering for LSU, Ole Miss, Alabama, Kentucky, Georgia. Like, you're not cheering for any of them. And then whenever there's a Georgia-Alabama national championship game, you don't care who wins. In fact, you probably hope the lights go off and they can't finish the game.
Yeah, I mean, and I think also in basketball, your bracket takes precedent over conference. You know, so if your bracket, depending on how you got your bracket filled out, you're rooting for your bracket if it doesn't matter. And I think if the team you love and the team you like to root for is gone, okay, check that box off. And then if your bracket's busted, okay, then you might root for a conference. Maybe, but only after all those other things. See, that's the weird thing. You'll root for teams you've never even heard of before or teams you've never cheered for before in this event. But then I think we still have this inherent thing as Americans. We root for underdogs. So I think we will all root for Loyola Chicago, right?
Yeah.
That's one thing we're going to do. Yeah. You know, root for Nevada. Root for root for somebody that's not supposed to be here to go far and do well. That's what we do. It's just in our nature. It's in our DNA. We love underdogs to win.
And those underdogs, kind of like John has been talking about the last couple of days, they don't really draw you to the television. But if you happen to be watching, that's who you're going to cheer for.
Oh.
You're definitely going to cheer for a 7 seed or a 10 seed or a 12 seed.
Yeah, you don't care either way, why wouldn't you? You know,
right, yeah. And the only higher seed or lower seed, however you want to look at it, but the only team that you're probably not cheering for that has a larger number next to their name would be a team like Syracuse, who they've won a national championship. They're always in a tournament.
I ain't rooting for Boeheim now. Right. I ain't doing
that. Yeah, you can't do that.
Right. I ain't doing that.
No. Regardless of the number that they have beside their name, you never really feel like Syracuse is an underdog.
Well, the thing is, too, with the SEC, I feel like there's also some other elements that go into it. For instance, you brought up Texas A&M, Kentucky. Just speaking from the Arkansas perspective, and I guess in Kentucky's case, the entire country, no one roots for Kentucky in Arkansas. No one's going to root for Texas A&M in Arkansas. But if it was, again, South Carolina and Frank Martin, where I don't think there's any disdain, there's no connection that has caused any types of problems, I feel like there may be a rooting interest for them because
of
the SEC. I mean, I felt like there was. And again, I could be wrong. I'm speaking just from what I saw on social media and whatnot. So again, I could be completely way off base here. But what I'm saying is that during the football season, when the bowl games are going on, there are so many fans that are fans of their respective teams in the SEC that if the SEC goes 8-2 in the bowl games, man, they are hammering that stat. They're like, see, this is the SEC. It's tougher. It's different. It's better.
I think that's more, though, and yes, it is cheering for other people by default, though, because that's just because if you're Arkansas and you've only won four games, you say, whoa, we only won four games because look how tough the league is.
Murder's Row.
Right.
That's
and
exactly
so it's
right.
more it's more of that than it is I really, truly want another SEC team to actually win
well,
a game.
And this SEC is in a league that's produced like eight straight national champions. If let me tell you, if the Southeastern Conference had won the NCAA tournament 8 years in a row, that would be, you know, people would be chanting SEC, SEC, you know, like they do in football. But, you know, other than Florida and Kentucky, there hadn't been a whole lot to cheer about. I know South Carolina made it last year, but that was kind of a one-off or an anomaly. But so there just hadn't been a lot of success. So, you know, I think the football deal is all about the consistent year-after-year success that this league stacked up. It just is not there in basketball.
No, and even in baseball where it's again, I know it's like the third most popular sport, roughly, when it comes to college athletics. But the SEC is very dominant in college baseball, and it doesn't seem that it has the same camaraderie that it would in football. I'm just wondering if it's, if, is it more of a perspective where people are just saying they like being part of the most competitive conference in the country because they can say
yes,
not only did we win the national championship, but we won the conference or vice versa.
It's a,
it could just be that as far as competitiveness. But I think that there are some other nice elements to have. Like, for instance, if it wasn't for the dominance of the football conference in the SEC, you would not have an SEC network. And each school would not be bringing in $40 million a year for
that. Good point. And people are cheering for that as well.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's a lot of other elements to it. But it's just, I don't know, I find it funny in basketball that it's almost like you're rooting, you're hoping A&M and Kentucky lose in the Sweet 16. You're hoping that they lose it all right now.
But what was it, 8 straight national championships in football?
I believe so, yeah, from 2008 to 2014, 15, something like that.
Why wouldn't you take pride in that? Even though you, like, Arkansas wasn't a team that participated in that streak, why wouldn't you take pride in that as a conference?
Yeah. It's a prideful area.
And football is, honestly, if you sit down and look at it, it's the SEC's, like, fourth best sport. Baseball's better nationally. College women's basketball's better nationally. Yeah. There are other sports that the SEC is better at than football nationally, competitive-wise. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if the SEC won 8 straight national championships in women's basketball, let me tell you, that's possible. You know, that ought to be something the league should take pride in, every member, even the ones like Arkansas that probably aren't going to be the one lifting the trophy. You know, you got to be proud of the league you're in and how tough it is. So I think that's where it comes from.
And I specifically remember after the 94 national championship game when Arkansas won it, there was Razorback fans chanting SEC. Now, they were kind of the first, if you read that article on ESPN.com about the origin of the SEC chant. It was actually by Razorback fans once they left the Southwest Conference and it kind of developed. So there may have been something there. But, yeah, it's a pride thing because, and let's be honest, in the area of the SEC in the South, people they take pride in what they're a part of. And they take pride in everything that they do and the stuff that they care about a lot, i.e. college football. They take pride in everything, not only just the school, but what it's a part of. It's like a big fraternity of different teams that, you know what, we can beat up each other, but y'all can't beat up us. We don't want that to happen.
And in basketball, the national narrative has been about this league. The SEC sucks in basketball. It's terrible. Terrible basketball league. So when you have some success, and of this year, let's just say Kentucky and A&M could get all the, you know, could get to the Final Four. Well, I mean, that's something you should take pride in as a league. So, you know, last year you had South Carolina there. You know, Kentucky's been there a lot. Florida's been there, you know, not as much recently, but, you know, certainly back during Billy Donovan. So, but the national narrative about this league has been how terrible it is as a basketball conference.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty brutal there for a long time. But they've made strides and they've done some things to get it going. But I want
8 teams in.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good start, and it seems like it's trending upwards, especially with some of the coaching hires and the decisions that have been made by the respective schools in this conference. 877-377-6963. I want your thoughts. Are you going to be rooting for the SEC teams in the NCAA tournament, or are you rooting against them? Do you root against them all the time? Are you even an SEC type of fan where in football, basketball, baseball, no matter the sport, you root for the conference? Are you that type of person? I want your thoughts and opinions. We'll get to that. Also, some recruiting stuff that we're going to get into to talk a little bit about Chad Morris and the job he's doing. They have been doing a lot of great things on the recruiting trail, and we're going to update you with that and a lot more. This is The Morning Rush.
The voice of Razorback fans across Arkansas. The Morning Rush. No spin, no agenda, just the most honest sports talk in Arkansas. This is The Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into The Morning Rush. We'll talk a little recruiting and the efforts that are putting forth by Chad Morris and his staff. Hitting it hard on the recruiting trail, not only this past season, even though the rankings weren't that high if you look at websites, but all things considered, it was pretty solid with the amount of limitations that they had during the recruiting season, and it looks like they're on the right track as well. And just as a reminder, tomorrow Tommy, you're going to be live from Branson at the Mountain Coasters. Isn't this correct?
Yeah, it's one of the new attractions in Branson. I know a lot of folks had to work. A lot of moms and dads listening couldn't take off the whole week for spring break, but they're taking off today. Going to be heading out today to Branson, maybe taking off noon today and have Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Branson, or if you're heading up for the weekend, whatever, be sure and stop in at the Branson Coaster. It's one of the new attractions. It's right on Highway 76, the main strip in Branson. We're going to be broadcasting live there in the morning, so you can stop in and say hi if you're already going to be in Branson. If you're in town listening on 104.3, we appreciate that. It's North America's original double alpine coaster, and you can go online and go to BransonCoaster.com, go to FaceAmusement.com, and see all they got here. But this thing is really neat. It's a cart on rails. You control the speed. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk about this. And they've got some March Madness deals that you can take advantage of for your family. We're going to be telling you more about that. But tomorrow morning, live in Branson from the Branson Coaster on Highway 76, right across from the Walmart on Highway 76 in Branson, Missouri.
Since we're talking recruiting, I don't know anything about recruiting again. I don't know how to recruit, at least on the football perspective. That's probably why I'm still single, is because I don't have any idea how to recruit. I can't sign
Friday
anybody.
Friday nights you can't recruit either.
Yeah, I can't. Saturday night. I'm just a terrible recruiter year round, apparently. So I do not need to be a recruiting coordinator for any type of sports team. But you know, when I'm seeing what Chad Morris and his staff is doing at this point in time, and the amount of visitors that they have, the guys that are on the radar, they're pretty, from all things considered, they're pretty highly recruited guys. Maybe some guys that weren't even considering Arkansas in previous years, and now you're starting to get the attention of them. And from the social media perspective, from how often the coaches are traveling out recruiting and all that, it's just, to me, it's so much, at least putting an emphasis on the effort of recruiting, that you're starting to see, hey, they may not close down every guy, but they're at least getting in their ear. They're at least getting them on campus. They're at least getting to the first step of maybe signing these guys. And I'm not trying to trivialize recruiting, but to me, it's like effort is really the main thing about recruiting and getting guys, is just putting forth so much work, and the work usually pays off when you do it.
It's similar to business, and it's similar to sales, and Tommy can speak on this. If you have somebody that's not good in sales at all, and then you have another person that's great in sales, and that person sees 10 people a week, the great person, but then the bad person sees 1,000 people a week or 200 people a week, at the end of the day, it's going to balance out to where, even though you're not good at sales, you're putting forth a lot more effort and you're seeing a lot more people. So you're going, at the end of the day, you're going to sell more things. And it's the same thing in recruiting. The more that you can get out, like in basketball, I see this all the time. You know, there are basketball assistants that won't be around the team for the entire week and just show up to the game. I mean, they'll miss shoot around. I was talking to a guy yesterday, and he was talking about a certain coaching staff and how they went from one game on a Wednesday, and they went around and saw all these different kids, and they skipped all the practices throughout the week, and then they show up after shoot around like 30 minutes before the next basketball game starts. So yeah, a lot of it is effort. Now, effort won't just get you there by itself,
right?
But I will tell you this, if you don't have great effort, and especially if you're recruiting to the University of Arkansas, you'll win 4 games.
Yeah. How many guys are you ever going to sign and you don't get on campus? How many guys sign that never make a visit to campus?
I've heard of one.
I'm
going to say the number's going to be a lot closer to 0 than 25.
Yes.
Yeah. The whole thing is selling them on the idea. I mean, the in-state guys, you don't have to go through this effort. They understand what our state's about, the effort. I still think that one of the things you got to do is get some of these out-of-state guys you're going after. And one of the things, they've narrowed their focus. They're not, you know, not that they won't go to Florida and get a guy, or California or somewhere and get a guy if they think they got a chance, but their focus is primarily Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, and East Texas, and specifically. You know, is getting them to campus. I think the whole sales pitch is, how do you get them to commit to taking a visit? Because once you get them here, you got a shot. I think the hardest part of recruiting for a lot of these kids is they only have, what, 6 visits they can make, official visits? How do you get them to make one of those visits to Fayetteville? So, particularly with basketball, I mean, but with football. So, you know, because I think there's a lot of misperceptions, a lot of people don't really understand what our part of the state's about. I mean, I think they got to go above and beyond, you know, sending out, you know, links to YouTube videos and sending out all kinds of details about what Fayetteville is all about, what Northwest Arkansas is all about. And it does have a lot to offer. And there is a lot of things to do other than play football. So, you know, the whole key to the whole thing is getting them to take a visit, getting them on campus.
And I also think it's about getting creative with your methods. Because at this point in time, especially in the SEC, you can have everybody's got great facilities. You know, that used to be such a huge draw for recruiting, is saying, oh, but they got the best facilities.
Well, including Arkansas. Arkansas's got great facilities.
Yeah. They have great facilities. But guess what? Everybody else is getting a $40 million paycheck from the SEC network. You know, all these other SEC teams, they all have big money boosters. They are all putting forth the efforts to making their nice facilities. So saying you have nice facilities, I think that can go a little bit, but everybody's got nice. So now
it's one of those things, though. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No.
It's like the practice facility. It isn't, and this was my whole view on the basketball practice facility. It isn't that, you know, having a practice facility or having nice buildings is going to get player X to commit. But the problem is you have to keep up with the Joneses. And if you don't have something, if you don't think that everybody in the conference, when Arkansas didn't have a basketball practice facility, was saying, they don't even take basketball serious. They don't even have a basketball practice facility. You got to practice where you play at. And which, there's not a huge problem with that. But that gets into the back of the minds of the recruits. And so the facilities now.
Perception problem.
Right. And the facilities now, guys aren't committing just off of, you know, Oregon having a barbershop in their stadium or whatever. But it's one of those things that if you don't have something, then kids will turn their back to you and go to another program that has all those things.
Which I completely agree with. I'm just saying that can't be like your number one sales pitch anymore. You can't say, okay, well, we may not have the tradition, may not have the history, we may not have getting as many guys in the NFL, but we have a really sweet practice facility. That's not the main pitch anymore. And for a place like Arkansas, who's trying to keep up with the Joneses, which I feel like they've done a really good job as far as the facilities go. Fayetteville's an awesome city to live in. It's a great campus. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's a good college town and has a lot of those things. But you have to be creative. You have to stand out somehow to the Alabamas or the LSUs or the Georgias in some form or fashion. And I feel like that's what this staff has actually done a pretty good job with, is that they've been able to distinguish themselves as having some different type of vibe. There's a different energy. There's a different way of doing things to where, yeah, it will resonate with me or you or anybody. We'll be like, no, that's probably dumb. Why are they tweeting that out? Why are they putting that picture? That's stupid. But if it stands out to the kids,
right.
Like I saw where they were having kids come in, try. They gave them a choice and an option of like, okay, which Razorback jersey you want to put on? You want to put on an anthracite one? You want to put on a red one? They had them dressed up fully, and they had like highly professional pictures taken of them and with their parents and whatnot. Now, that doesn't seem like a very big deal. But when I read an article about it to say that they're showing pictures that other teams have done this and what it looked like, and Arkansas was far and away the best looking, the best presented, the best everything. Mm-hmm. And again, it means nothing to me about a kid getting a picture taken in a uniform. Like, that means nothing. Yeah. But you know what? It resonates with that kid and it stands out.
On the uniform argument, you know, everybody wants to gripe and complain and moan and groan about those anthracite jerseys. But you notice how many times those kids choose that anthracite jersey
exactly.
for that photo you're talking about?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if wearing that anthracite uniform gets you a 5-star linebacker, wear the dadgum uniforms. You know, I'm all about tradition. I'm all about, you know, having the historical part of Arkansas. But if it helps you win games, if it helps you close down recruits, if it helps you get those big-time players in, do it.
Well, and
I'm
the problem,
more about winning the tradition.
Exactly.
And the problem about tradition is, as well. Kids that are coming in only care about recent tradition, meaning like, what did you recently do last year?
Yeah.
Or the year before that?
No one cares about the 64 national championship. I'm sorry.
Kids, I mean,
they don't.
Kids coming in don't care about the 2000s.
Yeah.
Like, and that's just how it is. And if you don't believe me, go up to a recruit and start asking them about Razorback history or Clemson history or Alabama history. And they can give you either a guy that's from their hometown, that if that guy was a Razorback or you know, if they went to somewhere else, or they can give you a guy that played the previous year. But as far as history and tradition goes, that's more important to the fans. That's not as important to the current recruits.
Yeah, ask a recruit about Clint Sterner or Matt Jones, at quarterback.
Yeah.
They're not going to have a lot for you on that, if they even know who they are.
You could even say that about like somebody like Ryan Mallett. I mean, at this point, you think about that was 8 years ago when Ryan Mallett was on campus, as crazy as it is.
I asked a basketball recruit one time about Lee Mayberry. He had no clue who I was talking about.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? But it's just times have changed. And I think a big problem is a lot of times, as far as recruiting goes, we as adults or we as fans or we as media members like to think, well, what would we like right now? And what's important to us? And we try to project that on the kids, and it's like we miss so badly because tradition is important to us. Knowing who Lee Mayberry is, a top five Razorback basketball player of all time, knowing who that is very, very important to us. And who over 25 doesn't know who that is? But a lot of those times, though, we project that on those kids, and like the kids don't care about that. The kids care about, okay, well, how much food can I get? Mm-hmm. How much gear can I get? And what color are our jerseys?
Yeah. I want to close out the hour continuing with this discussion on the other side of break. It's all made possible, though, by Williams Tractor.
Yeah, being equipped for tomorrow starts today. You can buy now and save on the new Holland equipment you need for the spring season that's here at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and at Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas. 0% financing plus cashback options on tractors, hay, and harvesting equipment. Stop by Williams Tractor in Fayetteville or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers today and see how much you can save.